Hey listeners, I hope you are reading good. Welcome to the 15th episode of Chit Chat with the Author series. Today, we have the author of two masterpieces, not just one. The first one is The Astral Search that he released in 2019. And recently, he just published a second book that is The Hope Mafia. So you have already seen the review and the way that whole journey of reading the both of the books was something very unique and different. I just can say that, I was in an imaginary theater for a few days. So yeah, welcoming the author himself, Nirmal Ranganathan sir.
Hello, Akash. Happy to join your show.
Thank you so much, sir. It always feels so energetic to speak to you.
Sure. Thank you so much.
So yes, sir. The very first question I have for you is that, like, in 2019, you published your first book, that's The Astral Search. Now in 2022, The Hope Mafia. Tell us, like, how much both of these books mean to you, like, in words.
Yeah. So, see, the thing is, it is some sort of a self-expression. I look at it like, you feel like writing, you just sit and write. That's how I see it. I don't see any sort of ambition or anything like that that is kind of driving this initiative, so to say. The Astral Search, when I started writing, I didn't even know that I was going to write a novel. Because I was a photographer for 7 years, because I was into composition, because I was into taking a lot of pictures, some sort of scenes started forming in my mind, and I was like, I should be able to kind of write them down. And it was all completely disparate in the sense like no scenes were connected with each other. I just started writing just for the sake of it. And then I found that it was slowly leading me into a story. And then I just followed the thread and it just happened. But the Hope Mafia was a little bit more of a focused effort. I knew I was going to write a novel and, I just pursued. But the technique is all the same. It is just following the thread. And that's how the whole thing happened. And for me, it is just about self-expression, nothing else.
So, I think more than just the story, the characters makes your book even more grand. Especially characters like Aryan from Rob from the characters and how you write such characters.
No. See, the thing is, it's a very simple question that you have asked, but the answer is slightly more complex. In the sense, when you are a when you start depicting a character, what you normally do is to make it as logical as possible. This is kind of this becomes very important because you are writing a fiction. If you are writing a non-fiction, if you are writing a biography of somebody, basically what you are doing is you are recalling the incidents from that person's life, the dramatic situations that they got into and so on. But when you write fiction, obviously you are imagining that character. The character is not real. So that is where comes the trick, the tricky part. The point is, like, when you are writing something fictional, what happens is sometimes it can become too unrealistic. This is the danger that I saw coming when I write the characters. So what I tried to do was to make them larger than life, of course, but at the same time tie them down to some realistic situations. It is only that way that you as a reader are able to relate to these characters. So these characters should look like someone who you know already, who you have already met somewhere, though you may not be able to clearly say that this person resembles so and so, but parts of that character you should be able to relate. If you are not able to relate to these characters from a practical perspective, then there is a problem with the characterization. So as an author who is trying to write, I try to keep this part in mind. I try to keep that as logical as possible. But at the same time, I also let them go loose, let them go berserk, because that is where the the quirky character or the larger than life character comes out of these personalities. So it is a little bit of a tricky situation that I personally experience when I write characters like that. But yeah, as long as I try to kind of keep them logical, I think I feel comfortable living with those characters. Yes.
So do you keep some like some personalities in mind or what? Something? The real
see,
personalities?
They're not real personalities. Normally what happens with people who make movies or people who write novels and all that stuff, I have heard, I'm not saying I'm like that, I've heard that these people's observations are slightly more accentuated, in the sense like they, whenever they see anybody, they keep observing them a little bit more than what others do. So what happens is you kind of internalize impressions about the characters that you see both in your real life and also on screen. Like, for example, I love to watch John Travolta, for example. So John Travolta was probably influencing the characterization of Ron Osborne in The Astral Surge. That probably is the reason, because if you look at John Travolta's characterizations, he is very good with antagonistic roles. If you see Broken Arrow or you see Face Off, these movies, he dominates the entire screen, though he's the negative character. So when you keep watching people like that, or you keep watching characters like that, what happens is like you internalize the impressions that you get out of these people, and when you write your characters, somewhere those influences come in to shape these characters. But once again, your imagination and your personal take on the characterizations also kind of make them look unique. They make them look original in that sense. I think that is exactly what happens, when we sit to write.
Wow. Like, as I said in the book review as well, like, you have added elements of black magic and mind games. That's something very fresh, like reading such thing. Even like, especially, no offense, but an Indian writer writing such stuff, like nowadays, what I'm saying is, like, especially Indian authors, what they are trying is either they are trying for the love stories, either they're trying something that's trending or something like that. But reading such elements like black magic, mind games, that's something very unique, fresh. Like, but I want to ask you, like, how challenging it was.
As I said, see, once again, I think I have to repeat what I told you first. It is a mix of imagination and reality. Now, when you look at the way Aryan speaks, I've heard people say in their reviews that, they were living with the characters. That is what some of the reviews told me. So if you feel you are living with those characters, that means you are able to completely identify with these characters as someone, whom you are familiar with. So on one side, you are bringing in a fictional character, what they do, be it the mind games or the black magic or whatever it is. So that part, you let loose your imagination. But on the other side, you are also trying to tie them down to the realistic personalities. It is a little bit of a tricky thing, but as long as if you are kind of keeping yourself sensitive to these nuances, somewhere you will tie them up together. See, in my journey of writing the characters and all that stuff, this one strange thing that I have kind of developed, which I find is not so easy, is this. That is, when you write a story, normally what happens is you get emotionally involved with what you write. The characters becomes yours. All the characters become yours. So if someone comes and comments on these characters, you or like almost like defending yourself or defending your characters. You know, these things happen, and you are, when someone starts commenting, you are on the back foot and you are alert and you are like trying to explain and all this stuff. This is but very natural. But if you want to step into the professional arena of writing, what you need to also do is to be able to detach yourself from what you have written completely as a third person. Look, this is one thing I told myself I should be able to do, though it was quite difficult, you know, when I started writing, because you are so emotionally invested in what you write. Like, for example, if you write 5 pages of anything, any content, what happens is you have put in your heart and soul into what you have written. It is very, very difficult for you to say, okay, you know, this is trash. It's very difficult because it has come from your heart. So that is one block that I wanted to demolish. So what I would do would be to put in my heart and soul in whatever that I write. And the next day morning when I do the review, I will basically review what I had written the the previous day. So when I review what I had written the previous day, what I do is I detach myself from myself. And I look at it brutally from a third person's point of view. And many times what I've done is I've smirked at what I had written. And what I have also done is to just copy 2 pages of content that what I had, whatever that I had written the previous day, I would just delete straight. I would tell myself, oh, this is crappy stuff. You know, see, you what you had written, it's okay. You put in your heart and soul and all that stuff, but somewhere it is not sounding logical. So you have to tune in a little bit more to make it more realistic. So delete straight. So now this deleting part had become part of my routine, basically.
So whenever I write
any scene and all that stuff, this is also one thing that I was tagging along on. And I would say, no, I need to be pretty logical about things. So when you take this kind of an approach, by and large, what happens is, of course, in the initial stages, it will be very frustrating. When you are deleting what you have written, sometimes what happens is it can also, you know, damage your self-confidence, because you are going on deleting, you are not happy with what you have written and all that stuff. This is exactly what happens with many people who are trying to write. Now, so when you start writing something, all these negative thoughts attack you, and you are like, oh, maybe I'm not fit to write. You know, people even go to that extent of feeling bad about what they write, and they lose all the motivation and they close it. Yeah, this happens with many people. This is once again very normal and very psychological. So that is exactly where I think I kind of held both the sides of the coin, where I would delete what I had written. But then because I'm very keen about the logical aspect of the whole thing, I will wait for the inspiration to come to me to lead me in the right direction. This is slightly spiritual, what I'm trying to tell you here.
Yes, yes.
It's slightly metaphysical, in the sense like I'm slowly getting into another realm of writing now. So excuse me on that.
Your third book, is it?
Sorry, what?
Your third book as well.
No, not the third book. I'm basically trying to get into another arena on the point that I'm trying to explain. See, the thing is, I'm just coming back from what I said. You are not happy with what you have written. You delete it. Now, what you do is you go back to the previous scene and you see where that scene is ending and how the next scene has to start. You are blank. Because I deleted whatever that I had written. So what am I going to do with the next scene? So many moments of blankness I have encountered too. So what do I do with the next scene? So during those moments, what happens is I just try to stay still. I just try to stay neutral without mixing my own opinions or my own conditionings into the scene, next scene. I just keep myself completely open and I wait for something to lead me. And this is something miraculous that happens. Somewhere the lead happens and it takes you forward. And I start writing and the words just keep flowing out of the fingers one after another. So this sounds pretty dramatic, what I'm telling you. It sounds cinematic, but this is something that I have experienced completely in both these novels that have happened. And at the end of writing these two novels, when someone tells me well written and all that stuff, what I do is a good part of that compliment, I pass it on to the energy above me. Wow. Because it is that energy that led me through all these complex scenarios, which I don't think I by myself can do. So this is a realization that I have, that I've got. So to basically sum it up all, what I have also realized is that I am not an independent entity. I am the extension of the cosmic energy, and all of us are. Now, the sooner I realize this truth, that I am always an extension of cosmic energy, the tuning in happens more spontaneously, and the flow also happens as spontaneously. So where you don't feel you are writing all the words yourself, where there is no ego at all, I've never felt that I've done any tremendous job. Honestly, I'm telling you very honestly. At the end of these two novels, when I look at the lovely reviews that you people write, those feel-good words that people coin together to write your review, at best, I'm all admiration for what you people do. The kind of reach that you people have got. My perspective is more on that side than on the way you are, appreciating the novel or appreciating me as an author. That side is completely absent. So I'm very happy about that, because the innocence is maintained that way, where I still am in the kid's state of mind. I'm nurturing that part of feeling like a child all the time. So I don't want to feel, I have achieved anything. Because even if you look at it logically in some other sense, there is so much more to do. Like, for example, when I went to Odyssey and Higginbotham's, the first novel, Notion Press, what they had done was they displayed my novel in both these stores as part of the marketing promotion. So obviously, out of excitement, I went to these shops. I took a picture of my novel being on the racks and all that stuff. It is a real excitement that you do get when you see your book, your debut book, showcased with other books. You feel great. But when I looked at my novel, I also got another realization, which of course you keep seeing every day, but in this context, that realization struck me hard. There are thousands of books out there. And when you look at your book, it's only a drop in the ocean. Now, you see how logical this realization is. Even the realization should not be imagined. It should be lived. You should know everything as nuts and bolts. Then you are always grounded. There is no chance you can fly in the air. There is no chance you can build castles in the air. So I want to approach like that. So I am no big deal. I'm no great shakes. After all, I've just written two small novels and only a
No,
handful
no,
of
sir.
people
Not
know
small
about me.
novels, sir. Not small novels, sir.
No, no. See, this is the beauty there. So when,
Yeah.
you know, you as a book reviewer, when you say words like that, it really kind of makes me happy. But I'm talking about my realization. What I tell myself is this. I'm not even a drop in the ocean. There are, you know, much more established authors who are out there. And all you need to do is to realize that there is so much more that we have to do. And what we have done, of course, is good because we have put our sincere efforts into writing the story and all that stuff. And we have also confidently put these novels out there for people to read and appreciate and all that stuff. This is on one side of the spectrum. But on the other side of the spectrum is the fact that we are nothing. So that, you know, gets you that humility in the real sense of the term. So this is my entire experience of, you know, writing. So to basically answer your question, yes.
But so the other thing is, like, I completely understand the way you said that, realizing the reality.
Right.
But like, I like what I have sensed is like, even the debut book, like I'm really like having a debut book that is so well structured. Like, again, I know that you have a lot of experience in you, and even like having a debut book, and like personally, the first book is like my personal favorite. Like, I'm not comparing both, but I really, it's just like some few touches, that poetic touches that I said. So that really won me. And that's your debut book. And
right.
Even the Hope Mafia. So
right.
Both of your books are so well structured, let's say,
right.
Very matured writing. So even if you're saying it like that there are thousands of books out there, but I'm very sure, like being a reviewer, being in this industry since long, I'm very sure that having a so well-structured book is so rare nowadays. So, yes.
See, that is also something that you should always remind yourself on. Basically, this is what I do to myself. This is exactly what I was trying to highlight. There is a trap that you can fall into. When you write, you get so mixed up with what you write. You become so emotionally involved. You fail to see it from the logical perspective. These are the traps that I can also fall into. And by that same reason, I have been a bit careful of, you know, not committing any sort of stupidities. Like, for example, see, the thing is, you know, let me put it this way. When Akash takes the book and starts reading, both as a reader and as a reviewer, Akash has got his own intelligence. So when you are basically doing a review, you are basically analyzing the content.
Absolutely.
And you have got your own experience, which I can never match. You know, the kind of reach that you people have with your audience and all that stuff. That's also another reason why I have so much of admiration for you people who have taken up this book reviewing stuff as almost like your profession. You people are thriving in that. And I'm repeating, I can't have that kind of a reach at all because I'm not an extroverted guy. I'm not a social animal. It probably is becoming my advantage when I sit to write because, see, by myself, even for 2 months, even without stepping out of the house, if I have to be in my room for 2 months, I will just not feel anything. I'll be happy being with myself. So that kind of personality trait also helps you when you sit to write because you are just with yourself for days on end. So by this reason, I'm not a social animal. I'm not so much comfortable getting into a crowd. I'm very uncomfortable. I feel very funny, you know, when I have to talk to 10 people at the same time. I have all these personality issues. So it is from that perspective, I have so much of admiration for you people. You reach out and then you talk to people, you volunteer yourself. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So coming back to what I was saying, when Akash takes the book to read, he is going to present this book to his followers on Instagram, for example. So there are people who are waiting to read what you have to write, what you have to say about this book, right? Mm. I need to respect that first. So when someone like you is doing a review, you have your own intelligence. You are looking at it from all possible logical aspects, not just with this content. You also look at it from the perspective of the number of books that you have read otherwise. So unconsciously or subconsciously, there is a comparison that is happening there.
Yeah.
Because you are keeping so many authors in your mind and you are looking at, okay, what has this guy written, Nirmal? How has he written it? Let me look at it. Because I do have an experience of having read 100 books. Mm. And it is on that strength I'm going to look at his content.
Yeah.
So when I write a novel, I keep people like you in mind.
Oh,
I need to respect the reader's sensibility and the reader's sensitivity, because today, if you see, there are so many distractions. You know, there is Instagram, there is Facebook, there are TVs, there are movie theaters. You can engage yourself with so many good things. Amongst all these engagements, why would you take a book in your hand written by someone, some nobody like Nirmal Ranganathan? Why would you go through that book? Now, I'm having this question in my mind all the time. Why would Akash take my book and read? Now, forget about the fact that you are doing it as a reviewer. Even as a reader, what if you get bored after two scenes? What if you feel like this is taking me nowhere? What if you feel like that? Now, the very fact that you make a decision to take my book in your hand is a compliment for me, and it is a commitment too.
Yeah.
I need to cater to the reader in you. I need to respect your thing. And if I make you appreciate what I've written, that I think is the goal that I would have arrived at. So forget about the number of copies being sold. Forget about you are being the number one seller and all that stuff. If I'm able to convince one person, if I'm able to reach the heart of one person, I really think that I have done something good. That's how I look at it. So therefore, coming back to what I was saying, when I'm sitting to write, these are all the things that I keep in mind when I write, and there is a fear. You should fear the reader's take on your book. You should fear the reader's time, the time that the reader decides to put on your book. You should fear that, and you should respect that. And if you keep this intact, I think somewhere you will kind of automatically start doing some good work, trying to look at it from various angles. Like I told you, when I start looking at what I had written the previous day, I actually try to look at what I've written from your perspective, from Akash's perspective. See, Akash has not written this book. Akash is not emotionally invested in what I've written. So you are looking at it very critically. And I should be able to become your alter ego when I do the review of what I had written the previous day. So the more I kind of get a hang of this trait, the nearer I get to you as a reader when the book comes out in the market. Now, these are the kind of things I try to keep in mind when I write. And when you people tell me it is well-structured or well-written and all that stuff, I give the credit to this conviction on which I started, because that conviction also leads you. See, the thing is, I told you the cosmic energy leads you. All right, it does lead you, but it should also appreciate you for your commitment. Otherwise, the cosmic energy cannot lead you. You need to be very, very sincere to yourself. You need to be, absolutely pure in your efforts. Then the cosmic energy finds it easy to lead you because it says, oh, this guy seems to be kind of, quite keen to learn things. So let me lead him the right way. Now, see, there is a whole lot of things that go into this experience. And I'm really happy that I'm given an opportunity to live this experience. And when I get to hear good words, like what you said just now, that kind of makes that experience complete, I would think.
Amazing. Like I have done like even interviews before, like, but when you said that, you know, you keep reviewers in mind and you keep book critics in your mind. Firstly, like you just said 10 or 15 minutes back that you need to be very critical to yourself and you need to delete the pages as well. These cultures are something that, you know, especially I'm talking about Indian authors. The self-published authors that are going, I don't think that they become too critical to themselves, or it's just like when they write 15 pages, they just take it like it's okay to keep this published. So, and the another thing is, I would like to say that,
Akash, just to kind of clarify this point that you mentioned, it is very, very natural. If someone gets emotionally involved and someone says, this is what I have written and this is what I'm going to publish, it is very natural. There is nothing unnatural about it. Because you have
experience for that. Not like you have so different level of experience that even like you are, your spiritual side is, you are so connected with the spiritual side. Then also you're finding a bit difficult to do it. And you're finding a bit difficult to follow this ritual. So
no, see, the thing is, another thing that we should also keep in mind is that nothing is easy. That is one rule that we need to embrace. That is one rule that we have to accept wholeheartedly. So when I sit to write, first thing I should know is this is not going to be easy. Nothing is easy in the world. So that is one thing you keep that in mind, and you slowly go step by step on your with your efforts, and somewhere you kind of find your way through. But as I told you, getting lost in what you have done, in what you have produced, happens 99% of the times because it is very natural. I don't want to be, making or falling into that trap. I want to be a bit careful. So that is that.
Yeah. So, like, after reading both of these books, my expectations from your, even like your third book, is super duper high. And even like, I'm very sure everyone who has read your two books, or even the Hope Mafia, the first book, the expectations, the bar of expectation always like, you know, high. So like, it's similar to the fact that when you watch a movie of Amitabh Bachchan, you know, and you just, the expectation remains high. Like, so as you are connected to the spiritual side so well, How do you take this whole scenario? Like, there are people who have, you know, so high expectations from you, and you said that you are okay to even not walk out of your house for 2 hours, like 2 months. So how do you take this whole scenario? Like, how beautiful or how amazing this whole scenario is?
It is definitely a very elevating experience. Definitely, no doubts. But when it comes to handling the expectations of people and all that stuff, that doesn't really kind of have an overbearing effect on me. because their sensibilities is something that I have already internalized.
Okay, nice.
So because I have already internalized their expectations, or not, expectations is not the word that you should use in this context, because see, on one side, you keep the sensibilities of the readers in your mind. That is something you do. But on the other side, you don't even look at what they would expect from you. That is not what I think of at all.
Okay.
Because if you are going to go by what people expect from you, what would happen is you will start looking at your original thinking from that point of view, and nothing will convince you, because 1,000 people will expect 1,000 things from you. So which one would you cater to? So therefore, you have to be original in your thinking. So which means the reader is not there in your psyche at all. So I'm contradicting here. While on one side you are respecting the sensibilities of your reader more from the logical perspective and all that stuff, but when you write your when you conceive your plot, there's no one else in your subconscious, which means it is truly mine. It belongs to my core. And when I write, I don't think of the audience in that sense. Now, what happens is there is a beauty here. If you actually look at the readers also, I'm this is a beautiful connecting link here. I'm sure you will agree with what I'm going to say. So if you are going to stick to your originality, which is not adulterated by what people might expect from you, that means your work is 100% original in that sense. So when Akash takes the book and reads, he finds that this is very unique and very original, and that it stands apart from you know, the other works. Not in terms of, you know, superiority. I'm not saying in terms of superiority or inferiority. All I'm saying is that it looks different. It feels different. And it feels original. Like, for example, the style of writing that I adopt, I've heard people say, you know, one of my friends who read my two novels, he's also a voracious reader like you. He said, "Nirmal, see, I've read so many books, but your writing style feels very different. You know, I'm not able to connect your writing style with anyone else." So, once again, coming to the superiority or the inferiority part, we are not talking about this being superior or, you know, inferior. What we are saying is that it has to have its unique feel. It has to have its own feel. Now, if you are able to achieve that, interestingly, that's exactly what the readers are also looking to see. Because when they are reading hundreds of books, they don't want to read something which sounds or which feels like other books.
True.
They want to see something different, something you know, which something which they have not seen before at all. Now, that is, in a way, that is exactly what you are trying to work towards too. So the best way to achieve that is not to think of the expectations of anybody. Just do what you think you need to do. That's it. And the audience should follow you. You don't go after the audience, because that is not what the audience likes anyways.
Yeah.
In the true sense of the term, now, if you read a book, you say, "Oh, this person is kind of you." What you said just now, sometime back, you know, this is what is trending these days. This is what the readers like to read, and so I will write what is trending. If you are going to fall into the groove, then what you are basically doing is to demolish all sparks of originality that you know, you are capable of, that you do have inside you. So so you try to be original. You just, you know, like, for example, when Aryan's character came up, black magician and, you know, the mentalist kind of a personality. Of course, you know, the characters of mind-reading, you know, mind-reading characters, they are not new in that sense. We have seen in serials, we have seen in movies, all that. So it's nothing like out of the box in that sense. But the way the character evolves through the book, through the story, that is where you see the uniqueness.
Of course.
So when I'm going with the Aryan's character, Aryan's character development, or for that matter, Tyagi, there are many moments, you know, I fear, I was scared. Whether the kind of things that Tyagi is doing will be acceptable by readers, you know, because it's very unconventional and it is very destructive in that sense. And he also dopes. He is consuming cocaine. So when you are writing such characters, you do have get that sense of fear. Is it okay for me to write, you know, this kind of characterization? You know, will people receive this well? But that is where your confidence in yourself also comes. You say, it's okay. Just go with that. And, you know, things will turn out well. Somewhere, you know, many times you are just not sure of how it's going to be accepted. You are just not. You have to go through these moments as well. That is, these are the moments that kind of bring the originality from you, because you contemplate a lot. You think through the characters, you think through the situations, and then you write. Then the originality is like unshakable, and people will feel it. So, so this is basically to address your expectation point that you made. See, in my heart, you know, the Astral Surge and the Hope Mafia are movies for me.
Yeah, true.
So if tomorrow someone comes and asks me, you know, can we make this into movies, I will run.
Yeah.
I will run to the sets. I will participate in the discussions and, you know, all that will happen. But obviously, you should also be realistic. Getting an opportunity to do movies and all that stuff is not easy. So you don't, again, build castles in the air. So instead, what you do is you try to live it in your mind first. You know, to make a movie like The Astral Surge, I did not spend any money apart from writing the story and publishing it. I did not spend any, you know, I didn't get into any production. The movie happens in the US. So is it possible for me to go to the US and make a movie like that? No. But can I live that movie in my mind? I can, which is exactly what I've done. Both with The Astral Surge and The Hope Mafia, that is exactly what I've done. And the writing also kind of becomes cinematographic, because I'm actually seeing those scenes in my mind screen. When I'm writing, I'm actually seeing it on the IMAX screen. So, which is exactly what I'm trying to write. You know, I'm seeing the scene on the screen, like, for example, the way Tyagi smiles, or the way he lets out the smoke. You know, when he's smoking, or when he grins, keeping the cigarette between his lips. I'm actually seeing him on the screen. And that is what I'm trying to describe, the way he behaves, or the way he smiles, or the way he walks. All that I'm actually seeing on the mind screen. So I'm actually living these movies in my mind.
But I must tell you, sir, that... the medium that you have chosen is perfect. And what I can say is, like, even if any producer comes up, so if any director comes up, you need to do nothing. And it's just like, even if any producer or any director gets to know about the reviews of this book, gets to know about this book, the story of this book, I'm very sure that, you know, there is a whole movie waiting for you. There is a whole movie waiting for all the audience out there to, you know, watch it on the big screen. And just as you said, that there is a movie that is in your mind. But I'm very sure if a producer or if a director comes in contact with this books, I'm very sure that there is a whole movie, you know.
Yeah. The thing is, that is exactly the reason why there is a beauty in your feeling that you are just a drop in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Because when you really feel you are a drop in the ocean, you also, by the same reason, know that there is so much that you can do. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the hope that you are nurturing, that, you know, one day, see, nothing stops you from imagining anything you want. Mm-hmm. And that is the beauty of imagination. Yeah. Like, for example, I'll tell you how powerful the imagination can be. If you imagine a horror situation, for example, you are getting into a dilapidated house which has not been lived in at all for 2 years. You are walking on the road and you see this dilapidated bungalow, and what you do is you are stepping in to the bungalow to see what it is. And it is dusk. It is night. It is about to turn into night. And you are walking through. Then you will see your imagination starts playing full effect on your mind.
True.
You will start sweating. You will start getting goosebumps, you will start, and that is the beauty of imagination. And this imagination happens with all of us in everyday life. Like, for example, when a dear one, has been hospitalized, for example, you are rushing to the hospital. While you are rushing to the hospital, the imagination plays such a havoc on your mind. By the time you reach the hospital, you are drenched. And that is imagination, because you don't know what is happening there. And for all you know, our dear one is perfectly safe. And when you go there, the doctor tells you, smiles at you and says, you relax, it's okay. He's perfectly okay. It's just that, you know, he got the shock and he became unconscious, but otherwise he's fine. So why are you getting so anxious? If the doctor asks, you realize how much you have been imagining. So imagination has such a powerful role, and imagination is something which is uniquely gifted only to human beings. Animals cannot imagine. They can only sense, but they can't imagine. So gifted with this kind of a thing, there is, you don't pay anything for imagination. You just imagine whatever that you want. So therefore, me imagining these two scripts to become movies, I'm not paying anything, I'm not spending anything for that. So it just happens in my mind, and I'm happy living that imagination. Whether it really happens or not is a different thing, but I've already got the impact of the imagination. I've got goosebumps, I've got this thing, and that's it. That's the end of the whole experience, and that way you are a fulfilled soul.
So yes, I know that you might not get into this zone, or you might you are not just so familiar with this world or with this like world in real. So I just want to ask you out that do you get writer's block?
Do you get what?
Writer's block.
Writer's what?
Block, writer's block.
Writer's block.
Yeah.
Oh, all the time. Okay. Absolutely all the time. You see, that is a very, very, very natural part of writing. You should get blocks.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it is almost like a condition.
No.
So that is one condition that we should embrace once again.
Wow.
Because see, once again, see, it is not like writing a diary. When you write a diary, what do you do? You basically document whatever that happened the previous day.
Yeah.
So I did this, I did this, so and so came to my house and we spent a lot of time together and it was so lovely, all that stuff. So when you are basically writing a diary, you are basically recalling what happened, something what happened in the past. So all you need is a good memory to write a diary. But when you are writing a fiction, you are writing something that you yourself will not know how it's going to go.
True.
So you write, start writing a scene, and the scene comes to an end, and you are like, what next?
True.
Though many times, there is also some sort of methodical writing people talk about. There are a lot of workshops that people do and all that stuff. And established authors, they try to teach the
Yeah.
aspiring authors how they should approach writing because it is a almost like a scientific way of doing it. There is a methodology that is attached to that. So you approach it in a particular way. There's so many people talk about that, right? So one of the things that they say is that you should be able to write a one-liner about what your story is all about. So when we say one-liner, maybe we don't mean one-liner. Maybe in a paragraph, you should be able to write a synopsis kind of a thing where you say where the story starts and how it's going to end.
Okay.
And that's how I wrote the synopsis of The Hope Mafia before I started writing. I wrote the synopsis, which you see as a blurb. So this is the canvas that you set yourself on. Okay, this is the subject that I'm going to write on, which is okay. But when you actually start writing these scenes, you need to kind of tie them well, one with another. And there has to be a logical progression. Of course, you are also maintaining some sort of suspense and all that stuff. But there has to be a logical sequence to what you are writing. How do you do that? So I personally feel that there should be moments when you do feel blocked. You should feel blocked because that is part of the writing experience itself. So obviously you will come across the writing blocks, and I'm no exception to that rule.
Yeah. But do you think that spirituality helps you in overcoming those writer's block?
Which specialty?
Spirituality.
Spirituality. No. See, the thing is, Akash, this is all a personal experience of everybody. Some other authors' experience may be completely different from mine. So all these experiences are very subjective. So when I'm saying, when I'm sharing all my experiences, the last thing that I'm thinking of is to share my experiences with anybody for them to kind of even try. That's not possible. Because each of us is a microcosm. Microcosm means like, when you go above the earth, when you go into the, so if you lift yourself 10, 20 kilometers above the earth, what do you see? You see only a blue globe. You don't see Chennai, you don't see Pune, you don't see Ahmedabad. You don't see any. You only see blue waters. So where are we in that? We are just a small, tiny spark of the whole thing.
True.
So now this is point number one. Now you come zooming into yourself. You get into the psyche of someone. If you actually see, no two people are the same. Even if you look at twins that are born to a couple, they will not be like each other. Maybe physically, appearance-wise, they may look very similar, but if you look at the personality, it will be so different. So, you know, I'm sure you would have kind of realized it yourself. You have siblings, right?
Mm.
So when you actually look at yourself in comparison with your siblings, you will see how different you are.
True.
Your inclination to do rapping, I'm sure, you know, your siblings have.
True.
But all of you siblings got the same upbringing. All of you have the same father. All of you have the same mother. And all of you had the same kind of an upbringing, same house, same food, everything. But you see the kind of difference that, you know, you siblings are. You are so different from each other. That means each of us is a microcosm. Your experience is so yours. It just cannot be replicated by anyone else in the world. So that said, all our experiences are truly subjective. All our experiences are just ours. And we should always keep this in mind. So that way, it is but fair for us to say that all of us are unique. Absolutely unique. When you go to a college or when you go to a central you know, public space, you see so many people and all of them look the same.
Hmm.
You put 10 men together, they look the same. You put 10 women together, they all look like the same. But if you actually get into each person's psyche, you will see that there is no comparison at all.
True.
Each person is made differently. So therefore, all the experiences that I've been sharing with you is only to think aloud on how I have been kind of looking at it. And that way it is truly personal. But of course, we do learn from other people as well. You know, you get inspired by somebody and then you take nuggets of wisdom from what the other person says. But ultimately, you make a mix of so many impressions that you get from different people and you make it your own. That is where comes the uniqueness, you know.
Amazing. So yes, it's been like, you know, 1 hour that we are speaking, but I'm not feeling that it's 1 hour. It just feel like I've just started the conversation. So
absolutely. And see, I would really give the credit to you on this discussion, because you asked some very, very interesting questions, which really kind of encouraged me to, you know, address them in another way. So hearty kudos to you for handling this session so well. And you are an upbringing, you are an upcoming talent in so many ways. And my heartfelt best wishes for you to shine through your career and your profession.
Thank you so much, sir. Like having a personality like you in my life is itself a really overwhelming thing for me. And that I'm connected to you, it feels so good to, like, again, having a personality I'm connected to, say it for like creative or in person or anything. So yeah, thank you so much, sir, for coming to this episode. Any last words that you would like to say to the listeners?
Nothing much, Akash. Nothing much. You see, the only thing is that we should try to be at our optimum. That, I think, is something that I'm trying to do in my life. Because the thing is, when I try to be optimum, there are a lot of things that come in my way. And interestingly, all these obstacles come from me, myself. They don't come from anywhere outside. For example, laziness is one thing that is within us. Laziness is not imposed on us by anyone else. So many times we don't exploit ourselves. We don't, you know, we are not our optimum selves because of this one thing, laziness, that can pull us back. And this is, once again, very, very, very natural. There is nothing to be disgusted about, because laziness is part of our nature. It is part of our human nature. So therefore, we need to accept that, and we need to find our way through the whole a lot of obstacles that we create ourselves. That is a very interesting discovery experience. It is, I think, probably what they call quest. Because when you go on a quest, you are basically encountering and you are winning over yourself, not anything outward. So one thing that we should always try to do is to be at our optimum at any point in time. Like, for example, if you don't know a language, for example, you want to learn, how can you be at the optimum of the language without learning it? The optimum comes down even to the learning experience itself.
Yeah.
Meaning, you be consistent in your learning effort. So this day I'm sitting to learn a language. At the end of that 1 hour, was I at my optimum of learning that language? Is the question that I need to answer for myself.
Oh.
Now, if I think that I put in my sincere efforts for that 1 hour to learn something new, I'm successful. I'm at my optimum. But would I be able to speak in that language right now, or for even for that matter, for the next 2 years? I may not be able to. So we should not get confused with the meaning of the word optimum. Optimum doesn't mean the end result. Optimum means what we do this moment. Are we doing our 100% on whatever that we do? Is a question that we need to answer. And as long as we are able to answer that question, I think we will always be happy souls.
Amazing, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for thank you. All these words. And it's a treat for all the listeners, sir, to hear this episode.
Thank you, Akash. It was indeed absolute pleasure for me to, have spent this 1 hour with you. It was truly enlightening for me as well. So thanks much for that. And
I'm looking forward, sir, for another session in future times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me too. Yes.
Thank you, sir. So thank you to all the listeners. Thank you, sir. It's for all the listeners listening to this podcast. I'm very sure this is a treat for you. So just buy his book, The Hope Mafia or The Astral Search, from the Amazon. I'm very sure that whenever you'll read his book, you'll definitely find something so unique, so out of the box, as the author said himself. So yeah, I'm very happy to be taking his interview. And I'm very sure that we will be taking his interview in future time as well, as we are all connected. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Let's meet in the next episode. Till then, keep reading.